We wanted to give a shout out to James Monroe from Oregon Pacific Financial Advisors. James is a financial advisor and knows quite a bit about retirement plans and those kind of things. And he helps us out. He helps make some of this possible. And you have some experiences with him, don't you, Addison?
Yeah, he's my financial advisor. He's fantastic. He keeps me in check.
I know. He's your conscience, and he's lots of things to lots of people, but he helps people
grow. You have James's number because I don't have a financial advisor.
Right. Absolutely. He helps people grow their plan and make sense of things. So thanks, James. Today we're going to do a little interview with a canine officer, and we'll introduce him on camera. Then we'll get to go see the dog. It's pretty cool stuff. All right, we're here with Officer Escada, and we wanted to talk a little bit about being a patrol canine officer. And the canine is the canine officer. You're the handler and the cop that makes the arrest and that kind of stuff if the dog's involved. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Right on. What kind of dog you have? Tell us a little bit about him, her, and name and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I have a 5-year-old German Shepherd. He is from the Czech Republic. Has a Czech passport and everything. yeah, picked him up down at Adler Horse Kennels down in Southern California. And he's been with me for 2 years, going on 3 now.
Oh, that's awesome. So you guys know each other pretty well at this point?
Pretty well. We have a good
relationship. And you take care of this dog when you're off work too? Is that?
That's correct. Yeah, he lives at home with me. He's an outdoor dog. So he's got his own spot out in the backyard. He comes home with me at the end of my shift, wakes up with me in the morning, comes back with me in the beginning of my next shift.
That's incredible. We're a German Shepherd family. We've had a couple. We have one now. And they do love the outdoors, and they need to run and do lots of – they need a lot of time spent, right?
That, yes, he does. Yeah, my backyard definitely shows it.
Yeah, I hear that. We've had some pretty big holes to fill, pretty big trees to replace.
Yeah.
So what is his specialty?
So Kylo is what's called a patrol dog. He is first and foremost, he's a locating tool. He's an excellent tracker. So whenever we have any fleeing suspects that we need to locate, especially me working graveyards and assigned to graveyards, the darkness isn't our friend, and we don't have the best night vision. But dogs like Kylo, they help us locate and apprehend criminals that run from us.
They smell pretty well and see pretty well, and they're pretty intimidating once they find them.
Yeah? They do. He's mostly black with like a brown colored belly and paws, so he's almost invisible in the dark.
Pretty good surprise.
Yeah. Well,
I went to go write down his name, so I get it right. Kylo, is it spelled like Kilo?
No.
Because that would be really funny.
Yeah,
it's a why. Another officer we talked to had a dog named Nark. So.
Yeah, though that officer also did have a dog named Kilo before.
That's awesome. How do you spell Kylo?
It's K-Y-L-O.
All right.
Like Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it now.
It is like Star Wars.
Is that why?
Yeah, nice.
Took me a little while. Yeah.
One of my patrol lieutenants calls it the Sith Lord dog.
Nice. Yeah. All dressed in black, right?
All dressed in black, yeah.
So how often does the dog work? It was like a regular work schedule with you?
So, yeah, he's when I'm working, he's working. So he works 4 10-hour shifts a week.
And when we're listening over the scanner, we all listen to the scanner a lot. And when we hear an elude on foot and maybe they've set up a perimeter and they can't necessarily find the guy, is that time to bring Kylo out?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right on. And what's he do when he finds somebody?
Well, 90% of our finds, excuse me, 90% of our finds, they surrender as soon as we find him.
They don't want to mess with the dog, and no. They know they're already caught, right?
I would surrender.
He's very loud when he does find somebody, and that's our best bet. You know, that's what we want most of the time is we want a peaceful end to a violent incident. So most of the time they do surrender. The very slim chance, usually one time or less than once a year, we actually use them for their apprehension purpose. But yeah, 90% or more of the subjects that we do find end up surrendering at the end.
Yeah, it's not the desire to have them bite anybody. They've created that situation when that happens is usually how it goes, I imagine. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, we always want the safest outcome for both the officers and the people that we're looking for. So yeah,
for sure.
Kylo, I mean, we train them to be very loud when they do find somebody so that we know ahead of time that somebody's there. And that way that person also knows that there's a dog there. And the desired outcome is for peaceful apprehension.
A little bit of canine intimidation goes a long way to somebody giving up.
Yeah. We've had barricaded subjects inside houses. I just walk them up to the front door and have Kylo give a few barks and they come out surrendering. I mean, that's most of my job. It sounds glamorous and people talk about how, you know, he's a mean dog and all this, but most of the time his bark is what makes people surrender.
My current German Shepherd is incredibly sweet. He's just a really nice dog, but when he gets to barking and running and things like that, he can be intimidating and people don't know that, you know, he's probably going to lick you or run away from you when he gets close because he's not really a police dog quality German Shepherd.
Right. Well, my dog at home, you wouldn't even know. I mean, yeah. he barks at the fence, but my wife's out in the backyard with him throwing the ball for him. And half the time he goes to her instead of me because I tell him what to do. My wife just plays with him. So he loves
it. So it's not just my house that they bond with ladies better.
Huh? Yeah. Well, in my experience, you're probably correct.
All right.
So when you get called out, what's the first thing you do with that dog? Because, let's say I chase someone in a park. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in that park. A lot of people have a lot of smells. I mean, how do you usually start them off?
Well, the first thing I do is make him go to the bathroom because I don't want him to do it in the middle or then. It's tough. First thing I want to know is where the last location was that this person was confirmed to be. Okay. Because there's lots of people. You know, we try to clear out a park if we have in a situation like that. We don't want an accidental or when someone approaches us because we're working and the dog's working. And like you said, people love dogs, so they'll want to come out and pet them. So the first thing we try to do is make sure that we have an exact location where this last person was seen so that we can put my dog on that track and make sure that he's following the correct person.
Okay.
Because we don't do sort of what that classical bloodhound where you take an article of clothing and you wave it in front of him. We're training our dogs to smell out changes in environment. And, you know, when you're walking through a grassy field or something like that, you're leaving behind a lot of odor from your shoes, from the crushed grass blades, from, you know, whatever you stepped in before. And that is fresh and different from the rest of that field or parking lot or whatever you might be walking through. So we want to make sure that once my dog gets on the right spot and following the right track, that he stays on that and not, you know, go into the playground where there's 50 different tracks from 50 different kids running around and playing on it. So it's really important for us as handlers to make sure that we start them off correctly so that they're on the right one and we're not just kind of walking around a park nonsense, you know.
Now, if I'm running and I'm scared, is my scent going to be stronger than other people's? Or
so, yeah, there's a couple of terms for it. The most common one that I've heard is, you know, it's not scientific at all, but it's called like a fear scent. Mm-hmm. You know, you're breathing a lot, you're sweating, you're perspiring, your clothes is getting, you know, sweaty, and that puts off a lot of odor. And there's some other scientific things that I can't remember right now, but you do put off a lot of odor when you're afraid, just by nature. When you're, you know, your heart's racing, you're breathing heavy, you're sweating, all that definitely puts out a different odor. That's mostly going to play a part when you're hunkering down somewhere and hiding. You know, you're going to be putting off a lot of that odor. If you're stationary, that's perfect, because then all that odor, my dog's going to be following the faint odors that he's smelling to where it's getting stronger, which is hopefully where you're going to be hiding underneath a bush or something.
Now, when that dog's tracking, when you know, what kind of an indicator does it give you when you know that you got a good track?
Oh, you're going to know.
So he's pulling you.
Yeah, he's pulling, his head's down. Yeah, he's heads down, he's pulling. Usually they're going side to side a little bit.
That's that scent cone that we talked to Officer Havis about. Yep. And our dogs do that. We play a little hide and seek with my wife because they really like her out in the woods, and they will work back and forth until they're on it.
And then, yeah, and you'll see that scent cone. It starts off real wide. They'll be going left to right on a leash, and then slowly as you're getting closer, that left to right starts getting narrower and narrower, and then eventually you're going to be, you know, I'm going to spot you before my dog, at least in theory, that's how it should be, because the dog's head's down and he's smelling that track, not looking up. So we're going to spot you beforehand.
Another thing I'm curious about is once you know where somebody is, if there is some place they won't come out of, does he go flush them out of there?
Well, that's where we end up having to take a step back. You know, if it's a situation where we have, you know, if it fits our policy, then, you know, our dogs are tools to locate people. And, my dog's pretty tough, and I would rather my dog go in somewhere and face somebody that's a potentially dangerous situation than another officer.
Yeah.
But I mean, that being said, if we know that there's a subject there that's dangerous and potentially armed with something, then we have, you know, we have the teams and tools to utilize. We don't necessarily need to throw a dog into a situation to confirm someone's there if we have, you know, a SWAT team that can call out to help.
I've listened to some of those before, even like overnight, 19 hours straight, and you guys are good at waiting it out and doing the minimum necessary to not agitate whoever that might be, and hopefully they just come out themselves.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to create our own circumstances. We like to take a step back and you know, we try to use the minimal amount of force as needed. And in that case, yeah, we'd rather just wait it out and use some other methods. You know, that would be probably a SWAT person to talk to you about those. I would just be guessing.
He wants to go in there, though, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, especially after he's done all the work.
right. And another thing I'm curious about is, what's the reward? There's usually something, a squeaky toy, a treat. Is there a reward when he's doing a good job?
Yeah. So it's handler dependent and dog dependent.
Okay. Raw steak.
Actually, that's funny. No, because then I'd have to ride with a dog that ate a raw steak for the rest of my shift. No, I have what's called a tug toy. It's a thick material that's stuffed with stuffing. It's just a really hard chew toy.
Yeah.
And that's what he likes, and that's what I have for him. And it's easy. I just throw it in my cargo pocket on my pants at the beginning. And, you know, if we have a situation where we do find somebody and they surrender and they get taken into custody, he's obviously like thinking, what the heck? So
don't forget about him.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Don't forget about him. So I usually throw his toy at him and play with him a little bit. And it's, if you're ever on one of those types of situations, you might see, you know, the guy going in handcuffs and me playing with my dog in the corner. That's why.
That's why. Would it be okay if we went downstairs and met him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that.
76 pounds, 5 years old. German Shepherd from the Czech Republic.
Hi, Kylo.
Yeah. And earlier we were talking about the tug, so this is his reward.
Hey.
As you can see, he loves this thing. Off. So anytime this thing comes out, he knows it's either time to play or it's time to get rewards. So as you can see, or a little bit ago when I first brought him out, he was a little distracted, a little kind of looking around, looking to see what's going off. Now that he sees this thing out, this is his main focus.
He gets out of the back there and he thinks it's time to work.
He does, yeah. So he actually has a harness that he wears when we're doing tracks. It's a tracking harness. So usually whenever he sees that, whenever that comes on him, he knows it's time to work. This is on it's just his obedience collar. So he does it. We're just coming out of the car to do something, but he hasn't quite figured it out.
Makes sense.
So we'll just do a quick little obedience pattern here. And now he's pretty focused on me, especially when he sees me grab this.
He definitely wants that thing.
So earlier when you had asked, yeah, like what reward does he get? So this is what he gets, and usually you'll see me on the side doing this.
Giving him his treat at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right?
At the end of the day, I mean, they're dogs. They love to play. Same thing that works for your dog at home will work for these dogs. They just want to play and they want to work for us. I mean, they're working dogs, you know, traditionally. So he just needs something to do.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty stable. I mean, you could come over and pet him if you wanted to.
Oh, you get your scent all over me. My dogs will be smelling me all night. He's a happy guy.
Yeah, I mean, these dogs get kind of a bad rap because of what they do, you know, 1% of the time. But
Yeah.
They're dogs. All they want to do is play.
Yep. And they like to protect their area too, I noticed.
Yeah, and even the apprehension part of it, for them, they're not trying to injure or hurt. It's a game,
it's
you
part
know.
Of the game.
We train them, it's a game to them, it's work. They're doing what we ask them to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's just out to hurt people.
No, not at all.
So yeah, they're great.
Pretty darn friendly.
Oh yeah, he's great. And like I said, my wife will play with him at home, throw the ball for him. It's just about the Yeah. It's probably the best thing you can do as a cop, I think.
Yeah, right. I love my dogs and I work from home. I'm with them all day and they're great friends.
Oh yeah, they're great. Yeah.
Always eager to please.
Always.
Always there for you.
Always, yeah.
Hard to find a drinking buddy like that. That's
He doesn't drink. Yeah. He's only five.
Still too young.
Five years old?
Yeah, he's 5 years old. Yeah, he turns five this year.
Nice.
Yep.
What's length of working life usually for a German Shepherd?
Average is usually around 9 years old is when they start to retire. And for us, we do that usually around 9 is when they start to see some of their issues with their hips and things like that. So as soon as we start to see something start to develop, we usually retire them so they can have a good quality of life and they can go home. And I mean, at that point, they'll retire and go home and live with their handler. And you know, we just at that point they're no longer an outdoor dog. You know, we try to bring them in and give them a good couple of years. You know, on a good couple of last years, so that way they can enjoy their retirement.
He's got a lot of work left in him, but you'll be happy to bring him home when it's over, yeah?
Yeah, my wife already said that he's coming home.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. She already calls him her dog. So.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for tuning in to the Scanner Group Crowdsourced Crime and Safety Podcast with Ryan Mallory and Jared Banery from Thief Hunter Labs. Make sure to subscribe today for notifications about the next show. Visit us at www.thiefhunterlabs.com or on Facebook as Thief Hunter Labs in the search bar.